Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution.
Grand Rising! And thank you all for joining us on this Wednesday morning, the last Wednesday of the month, or the fourth Wednesday of the month, which is our men-only discussion. So, men, I'm going to ask you to call in to our co-host line at 515-605-9891 and press 1 so he knows you have something to say. It's just a little easier for him to control the switchboard. And, women, we're going to have an after show from 9 to 9:30 to discuss what we heard, because we want to hear the men's point of view about this very intense topic that comes up year after year, and each time there's an election and each time there's a racial incident. We're constantly talking about the ongoing racial disparities that do not allow this nation of America to heal from the pain of the long period of enslavement that built this nation's economy. The reality is there was a workforce that made it possible for America to rise in its greatness as an economic world power. And that labor force was a free labor force removed from the continent of Africa and transported in the cruelest way to America. And people were forced to work at gunpoint under the threat of torture and death. For three centuries. So if we are determined to make this situation right, then we must create some means of either compensating those descendants or removing the inequalities in our society that keep this condition of inequality and lack of opportunities and oppression continuing to shape the American experience for African Americans. Reparations. How do we repair the damage? How do we find a way to make right centuries of wrong? And even today, our social systems are still affected by the institution of slavery and the color caste system that has guided our economic policies. Everything from education to health care. So do we need to repair? Do we need to pay money to descendants of those who provided that free labor? Or do we just need to make things right, make things equal, just give opportunities to everybody? Is that a possibility? Is that something that we should consider as the remedy? Is it too late for reparations? Or is that the only way to fix the problem? Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to connect with our guests who are joining, our host for the day, Kareem Hamid. And we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. And if you'd like to join me visually on Facebook, we'll perhaps periodically have a few comments from our women as we listen. And this men-only discussion, should the U.S. government pay American-born black people reparations for slavery? And we want you all to be prepared with your argument. So after this quick break, we're going to join with our co-host, Kareem Hamid. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
What happens when a group of people are kidnapped from their homes, smuggled away in chains, and held captive in a foreign land where they are tortured, raped, and forced to perform hard labor by the lash of a whip and under the constant threat of death? slavery, the African American psychic trauma? What happened to the doctors, writers, scientists, builders, educators, and spiritual leaders from Africa's golden age? Who did they really capture and sell into slavery? Are all African Americans suffering from psychic trauma because of a conspiracy to hide their true identities? Do you have psychic trauma? Take the test on page 22 of the book and see. Order it online today at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com, and get your personally autographed copy of the book, Slavery, the African American Psychic Trauma.
Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and today is our men only discussion, and we are now joined with our co-host Kareem.
She's going through this other address,
and we've got some panelists on the line as we talk about the issue of should the government pay blacks reparations for
slavery. I'm grateful
for
everyone's patience. I had it queued up.
And our co-host Kareem Hamid is going to play an opening.
It's playing something else. Let me see if I can look down further.
It's going to play an opening.
Inshallah, I can. Let me see. Yeah, here we go.
Audio.
All right. Everyone hold on. I'm grateful for your patience. I bring you now Dr. Martin Luther King, his comments on land grants that were given.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land.
Here we go. Okay.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land. Through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people, 10 telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. And this is what we are faced with. And this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check. At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farm. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with. And this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
Okay. I hope that that provides some context for the conversation that we plan to have on affirmative action. I have something else I want to share with you. Reparations for a Japanese citizens in this country. The last Japanese internment camp closed in March of 1946. President Gerald Ford officially repealed Executive Order 9066 in 1976. And in 1988, Congress issued a formal apology and passed the Civil Liberties Act, awarding $20,000 each to over 80,000 Japanese Americans and reparations for their treatment, for their internment. Japanese were interned in internment camps during World War II. A government recognized their error, and they actually paid $20,000 each to over 80,000 Japanese Americans as reparations for their treatment. So that shows that we're not asking for something that has not already been given to other citizens of this country. Whether it takes place or not, I feel we have a right to ask for some type of reparations. Reparations means the act of repairing, to repair. What is done to repair a wrong. Indemnification for a loss or a damage. The United States, the world, they asked Germany for reparations. The Allies, for World War I, they demanded reparations for property damage done in France. Reparation, satisfaction for injury. So I know for a fact that we have been injured in vital areas of our lives due to the cruel institution of slavery. I want to ask Brother Abdul Shaheed if he would introduce himself and share with us a few opening statements, if you would. Brother Abdul Shaheed.
Yes, sir. Thank you so very much. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. This is Abdul Shaheed, one of the hosts at AM360. We host a program called Optimal Health, and our health is mandatory. If we don't take care of our health, who's going to do it for us? So there's health on many different levels, educational health. We have to deal with economic health, and this is part of what we're talking about this morning. Reparation entails all of these health is part of our society. And these things have been denied from our people. Hundreds of years of enslavement have been denied from our people because it gave someone else a head start, 400 years of head start. This is what has happened. In terms of education, we're at the bottom. In terms of business ownership, we're at the bottom. In terms of health care, we're at the bottom. All these different avenues that's designed to create an ideal society to uplift people, we're expected to lift ourselves up by our own bootstrap when we have no boots. They were taken from us. Opportunity was taken from us. So we know that the government here in America is not against reparation because our brother just shared many examples where people have received reparation. And the people from the Holocaust, the Jews, that we had nothing to do with as a country, we even chipped in to help those people to receive reparations so they can go and establish a homeland for themselves. And we even helped them to do that. So we were promised 40 acres and a mule, and that was denied. If we had received that great opportunity, I don't think our people would be in the predicament that we find ourselves in today. So reparation has been issued to others. And if you deny reparation to African-American people here in America for what has happened to repair the damage that was done, no one in the world should deserve reparation. You know, no one in the world should deserve reparation if reparation is denied from African Americans. I think we're in a position today where we have to demand reparation from not only the government, but the corporation who benefited. There are many corporations still exist today that benefited from the effort of our people by taking their free labor to establish this country. We have so much in terms of evidence and historical data that we should not be denied reparation. That was my opening remarks and statement, Brother Imam. We certainly appreciate you inviting us to be a part of this panel. Thank you.
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you. Brother William Kareem, if you would. William Kareem? If you would have an opening statement, please. Take your phone off of mute.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Historically speaking, I agree with what the first panelist has said as far as what the circumstance and situation is. And there are many more examples that can be given regarding that, regarding reparations or repair. The government had something to do with it. The culture that was created had something to do with it. Law enforcement, government, law enforcement is government. So that had something to do with it. Businesses, slave owners had something to do with it. You say, you're free, and then, just say, get off of my property. You don't have any place to go. And I'm talking about forefathers didn't have any place to go. Next thing you know, the government or sheriffs, pick you up for loitering Right, because you don't have a place you all you can do is stand out on the street. You don't have any place that you can go. But you know, in the process of loitering, all of a sudden you become a ward of the state, and you work for free. You know, there's a lot that's there. I don't know much more to say regarding it because. There's been efforts. There are some efforts that are going on today in some states that are trying to address the issue as far as reparations is concerned. We just have to see, you know, where it will go. But I'll tell you this here, you know, from a person who I wonder, you know, how what threat did the Japanese hold over the American government that they would give them that money? What threat? You know, because a lot of what threat was held over America to make the Germans or to do whatever it was that they did? What threat was held? Because the human being is selfish, and I think a lot of times with this, even with the 40 acres and the mule thing, that was supposed to be a government mandated, and then another person comes in and says, no, we're not going to do it. And even though it's been centuries since that's happened, it still hasn't been corrected and addressed. Why? Because it hasn't been, you know, the power, the threat, the power, the consistency to ask for it just hasn't been there. So I'm not really hopeful as far as reparations is concerned. I really am not, even though, you know, like I come from I can trace my family history back from Africa into Portsmouth, Virginia, and, you know, being sold to the Joneses, I can trace my history back to that point. Didn't have anything in Portsmouth, Virginia. And had to leave to come to North to just, you know, try to survive and make a living. So there's just so much that's involved in this, and it's not like government doesn't know it. It's not like the American citizens don't know it. They do. It's just that there's a selfishness. You know, why should we give it to you? They won't even give the government. Tried to give students, you know, they tried to give them reparations as far as their student loans is concerned. They fought against that. The black farmers were approved to have some money from the government, and it went through. Oh, nope. Some people said, well, no, they shouldn't get it, and now it's in court. So, you know, it's not like this problem and this issue is not there. Some people get it because there is some kind of pressure that's put on the government to make them. But as far as African Americans is concerned, I don't see it happen. I really don't. I don't see it happen. So that's my statement.
Yes. All right. Thank you. All right. Instructor Henry Hasee, some opening statements from you, if you would, please.
Assalamu alaikum. Comments that have been made so far also, but I'd just like to add, you know, because we still have people in this country who, as Brother William was saying, will deny that reparations or a injury has been done. You know, one of the things in insurance that they say that if I damage your property or you as a person, then I should be responsible for making you whole again to where you were before the incident, before the accident or whatever happened to them. But when it comes to African American in our history here of the slavery experience, and even after the slavery, as Brother William was saying, even we got a case studies of the black farmers who was not in slavery, chattel slavery at that time, that were denied there for the a whole reason of destroying them as a people. And so we got history after history after history of these things that has happened to the African Americans. So it's no denying today whether or not damage have been done. I think the biggest thing that we have to see in demand is that we be made whole again and discuss in how ways that we will be made whole again. I got my grandchildren here with me. But that would be my opening statement. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. I thank all of you for your opening statement.
As-salamu alaykum.
Very thought-provoking. Praise be to Almighty God. And they are well taken. I'm looking to see if Naima is with us at this time. I don't see her as of yet connected here with AM360. But let me share with you my opening. My commentary concerning reparations. Hold on one moment. Naima is contacting me by phone. Let me play this public service announcement. I'll be right back.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, The Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, The Bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
And we are back. All right. I have spoken with Naima, and we have another invited guest on her platform from Brother Warren Houston. Naima, if you would open up his mic so he could share an opening statement with us.
All right. Good morning. How you doing? Can you hear me, brother?
Let me see. Wait a minute.
Yes, he's...
Okay, all right. I'm opening up Naima's mic. Okay, there we go.
All right, now we're connected. Well, alaykum salam.
Good morning.
We've got a couple other callers that want to speak also, but I'll make sure Warren gets his opening statement in first, because he's got to leave at 8:15. So we want to make sure he gets his audience.
I look all forward to hearing from Brother Warren Houston.
Good morning. Can you all hear me?
Yes,
yes
we
sir.
Can.
Hello? Okay. All right. Just want to make sure you all can hear me. First of all, I'd like to thank Naima for inviting me to speak on this topic, and I hate I really have to run because I would really like to dig in and get more deeper into this topic than time will allow me. But the first thing that I want to bring to everyone's attention is I think one of the things that mess us up as a people, when we hear reparations, the first thing that comes to our mind is a check. We think about money. and you know, we feel like, hey, we owe money. Reparations, y'all, excuse me, it's a little noisy because I'm driving, but reparations is a matter of law. And one thing that I can say is that when we talk about reparations, we don't talk about it from a legal standpoint. We talk about it from an emotional standpoint. As we begin to talk about what has happened, we begin to talk about what other countries have received and how they have how they treated us. And we haven't even first looked at the definition of reparations. I think we need to first start there, because whether we're paid reparations or not, that is, again, a matter of law and will be dealt with in a court of law. So, therefore, you have to go back to its definition. And without being able to really get into the definition, because I'm driving, basically, reparations is paid to casualties of war due to war. And so I'd have to ask you, based on that definition alone, and you can do your own research to get a better definition of it, are we casualties of war? Or are we casualties of agreements that were made between African tribes and the Europeans that so-called started America? That's the first question I have. And so based on that alone, if you go back and look at the definition, we would not be casualties of war. That, in my opinion, counts for reparations just based on definition alone. But secondly, to explain reparations, if you understand what the definition is, go back and look at the United States. The United States itself never owned slaves. So the United States would feel themselves not to be responsible, because the ownership of slaves were by individuals and private corporations, not the United States government. When the United States government came into existence, it was dealing with a slavery problem that was already in place. And as the United States was formed, it took them, I think, somewhere between 82 to 89 years to resolve this issue, because you had some states that were that wanted slavery and some that were against slavery. You see this in the what was known as the Articles of Association. That's another document you can look up, which is the founding document that started this country. And most people think of the Declaration of Independence, but it's not. It's the Articles of Association, which was written before the Declaration of Independence. And you can see the grievance among the colonies then that there were disagreements between concerning the slave and the slave states, those that were for it and those were against it. So that's my opening comment.
Thank you, Warren. If I may share with you a definition of reparations from Webster's dictionary here. It says, the act of repairing, repair. What is done, an act of repairing. Repairing what is done to repair a wrong. To repair a wrong. Whether that wrong was done in the act of war or not, a declared war, it is the acknowledgement that an offense has been committed, and it left those that were offended in a condition that requires repair, that requires repair. This government, they issued laws that impaired the freedom of movement, the freedom to earn one's living from their own labor, we can look at what happened after Reconstruction. The laws called Black Code, the Black Code laws. Read those, and you will see how we were injured. This country, it was founded on slavery.
Mm-hmm.
They issued a declaration that the indentured slave, the Caucasian slave, could work off their time in slavery or buy their own freedom. But the African-American was left out of that. He was left in perpetual slavery due to the color of his skin. That was this government that did that. So, we have to admit that that an injury has been made, whether it was a declared war or not.
Can I interject?
We were
for a second there, brother. The definition is used from a Webster's dictionary. They will not be using a Webster's dictionary court of law. You have to get a Google dictionary to find that word. And again, as I stated earlier, to relate back to emotion, one of the things that you go to law school, they teach you how to become a stoic. That is to remove emotion with logic. And I do understand, I don't want anybody to understand the grievance and the emotions behind it, because I do. I'm black myself, so I do understand.
No, I'm not speaking from emotion, my brother. I'm speaking from fact, not emotion. I'm speaking from
fact,
from a position.
The definition,
fact.
The definition you just gave is wrong. It will not be using. They're not going to use the Webster's dictionary. So the definition alone you just gave is not the correct definition. They will be using a legal definition, and based on the legal definition, not just a Webster's definition, then it would not compute. And I'm not saying, again, you talk about what has been done or wrong has been done, but are we casualties of war? That's the first question you have to ask.
Was there
a war going on, or were there negotiations between African tribes and the white men that came over to the continent? That's number one. So this is the same situation where we have to understand, where people don't understand the legal game. When you get into some type of criminal situation and then you're told that you have a right to remain silent, anything you say can and will be used against you. And those of us don't know that, we run our mouths and end up sinking ourselves deeper because we don't know how to play the game. The same thing with the KKK. You have the KKK, and eventually laws were made where they couldn't do the criminal acts that they were doing. But instead of furthering that aspect of the sheets, they just took the sheets off and they became the judges and the police officers and things of that nature. And that's something that we haven't done as a people. We haven't begun to educate ourselves and remove back from the past hurts and pains and placed ourselves in a position governmentally to where we could make the changes that needed to be made for our communities. That we haven't done as a whole.
Well, if I may say this regarding the definition of reparations. First of all, reparations, the Webster definition is a legitimate source. Now, and it can be brought into a court of law as a legitimate source. Now, there might be word salad that goes on when it comes to other definitions regarding reparations. Because
can I finish what I'm saying, brother?
Please respect me when I give mine. I appreciate it. Okay, now, as I said, now there may be other definitions regarding reparations and especially with particular circumstances and situations. As you said, as far as crimes of war, that's another definition that they have used, okay, as far as reparations is concerned, when they gave the reparations to Japanese and others, because they defined it as reparations should be due because of acts that were committed during war. But, you know, you can't just dismiss and say that, you know, like Webster's, which is a legitimate source, that can't be used in a court of law. Come on, man. That's not going to fly. I'm finished.
Brother, I have a law degree. I work in the courts. You will not bring a Webster's Dictionary definition up in a legal courtroom. There is a legal definition, and Webster's is not going to cut it.
Well, I know one thing. We all can bear witness that an injury was made, regardless to what book we may utilize and come from. Who wrote the book? We have to bear witness to the crimes that was committed against us as a people. I don't care who wrote a book. I don't care what book we draw from. We are living fact and living truth. And when we look at the institution of slavery and what was done, those are fact. Those are not emotional statements. Those are point of fact. Women were raped. Men were raped. We were prisoners. I think it was Brother Obadiah a few weeks ago. He said, we need to change that, for we were enslaved. No, we were held prisoners against our will. Against our will. We were captive prisoners. And I don't want to get caught up in semantics and a play with words. This is too serious to allow anyone to play with us with words. This man can take words and worm his way from out of almost anything. But these are points of fact. This is historical fact of what happened to us. So regardless to what definition someone else has written, we are the victims. Our mere presence is enough for me as proof of what was done.
Assalamu alaikum. Do you want to take a caller? I think we have Pianki on the line if you want to take a caller on our line.
Okay, let me share this public service announcement, and inshallah, we'll be right back. Bye-bye. I believe we're kind of off
Well, I mean, we can wait till the top of the hour if you like, because we got about 11 more minutes.
All right, then. All right, if Kianki would, yes, I look forward to hearing from you, my brother.
Okay, 314-6.
Yeah, Naima, you said you wanted me to be on the panels on Wednesday. Nobody never called me back, but to have an opposing view. But I've heard a lot of things and reasons, and I can only discuss one at a time, because people will give a reason or event that covers decades and sometimes centuries. So it's impossible to make an accurate discussion. Now, what Mr. Houston said about the dictionary, what Webster's Dictionary come in fact in the early 1800s? And they don't use Webster Dictionary terminology in law. And then again, which edition are you talking about? Because some editions don't have the words that we use today. That's a big problem. You try to take today's ideas and logics and try to take them back centuries. It don't happen. All right, I heard somebody early on say something about Japanese. Japanese were U.S. citizens in this country, and they were not afforded their, at that time, Fourth Amendment due process. That's why come they had a claim. the U.S. government committed done an action against them, which I approve of, because we was at war with their nation. Blood is thicker than water. You can't have that many people in your country when you're fighting against their homeland. That's a dumb thing to do. Germany lost the war, and the rules of nations at that time, if you lose a war, then you got to pay the reparation. If you win the war, the spoils of the war, the spoils of what they call a long time ago called booty, then they go to the victors. 40 acres and a mule, there was no mule in the offer by Takumi Sherman, who didn't have a right to make that offer anyway. And for the simple purpose is that the land belonged to the Indians. The land didn't belong to whites. The land belonged to the Indians. Some of your five states in the South was Indian land that through treaties and also purchases ended up coming out of the hands of the Indians into basically who has them today. We talk about the, and matter of fact, your first slave catchers was Indians. They were not whites, as people say that it came in to be called police. And some of them made a lot of money. It only makes sense. They knew the land. If you was a runaway, you in a foreign land, you don't know your way, they would know which path you would take. So that's how they was catching them. So, you know, I could go on and on. There haven't been no U.S. paid for the German, or should I say the Jewish Holocaust that occurred in those death camps over in Europe. The United States didn't pay no benefits toward that. They may have helped to orchestrate some of those things and to carry them out. I think the last one that they helped France negotiate something. Well, why would America pay for what Germany had done to its citizens at the time? And today, blacks are biological mix. To say black slaves, the slaves didn't get paid is not true. You can't say that they get paid. Then on the other conversation, you say they bought their loved ones. Not only did they get paid, some had their own business after their work day. And you did have blacks that received 50 acres of land for every settler that they sponsored here to the United States. But, you know, up and up, slavery was not illegal. Africans got rid of their riffraff for many reasons, especially for the crimes and atrocities that they committed there on the land. They still do that today. They was doing that before they even met anybody from Europe. So if anything, according to them, the sins of the father follow the son. So today's black owe those tribes reparations. Today. I mean, think. So
you
I have some more notes here so I could go on. And I would discuss point by point. I'm not going to, you can't get in these time machines and travel all the way back to Julius Caesar. Well, some people can. I mean, good for them.
Yes, sir. You know, by way of citizenship, what is being discussed here is not about civil rights. It was a violation of human rights. In that context, the violation of human rights, that is where the slave owners and this country can be charged with a violation not of citizen rights, of human rights.
Well, if I can answer that, there was no human rights declaration back in the 17th century. Matter of fact, even today, I doubt if, and the last time I checked, the United States present government has not signed on to a human rights declaration for a simple reason. We have a constitution. And some of the things in the human rights declaration goes against the United States constitution. Like you're saying that a child has more a say-so over his parents. Well, that's not right. That's not the way it goes here in the United States. So the United, there was no human rights declarations back at that time. Matter of fact, Armenia tried to get Obama to go along with their charging of genocide against Turkey during the Ottoman period, where there was no terminology. You talk about Webster Dictionary, there was no terminology called genocide. That came in 1948 with a person by the name of Raphael Lemkin in what then was the League of Nations. Now it's called the United Nations. It was no genocide back in the 1700s.
You know, murder is murder. There is no statute of limitation on murder. You know, there isn't a time element attached to the crime of murder. Whatever the era it occurred, that makes that a legitimate charge to be charged or even answered for. There is no statute of limited nor time frame tied to the crime of murder. So to say, well, didn't have... Excuse me?
It wasn't me.
Yeah, well, so what we are discussing here, to me, is human rights were violated. Naima, do you have anyone else that would like to share? Because I've got two callers here on this line.
Well, we're going to sisters who want to make a comment. We're going to when we take a break, we're going to speak during the break, and then we're going to do a 30-minute after show to reflect on what we've heard. I think that the issues that have been raised require some really serious thought, because as upset as we are over slavery, there's a whole lot of people that were involved, and it's not just a black and white issue. And as Warren pointed out, some legalities, and as Pianki pointed out, there's some history that goes into whether or not this could actually ever happen for the descendants of those who were enslaved. So if you'd like, you can take a caller from your line, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll be right back.
Okay. Air code 727-408. Bilal, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Allah. Allahu Akbar. This is a very serious conversation, and we're not listening to myself. I said, well, I never got off into the thought about reparation. And so I see it was good for me that I didn't get in that conversation, but it's something I like to give to believing people, believing God, feel themselves accountable to God. This is for y'all. I want to give y'all this. What is our inheritance in America? We would know more when we have more persons submitted to our intelligentsia. We have the right to own property, so we grow and get the things we need. I would like to reflect sincerity. Trusting God brings prosperity. We should have the life that God created for us. Creation is a trust. Oppression is worse than slaughter. Good deeds for a better tomorrow. We have revelation by the heart and mind. See God's mercy when we cross the line. Islam is my reparation. I have the right to practice my religion. Talk to our potential. Think rational. Common sense is practical. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you, Bilal. That spoke to the issue also. Okay. All right.
We can take a break now. We can take a quick break now and come back about 3 minutes and take some more calls and hear from some more of our guests.
All right. I'm trying to locate your number again.
I thought I pressed one.
Huh? Pardon me?
Yeah, I thought I pressed once. You could see it, 312-721.
Okay, I have it here. All right, thank you. We are paused now for some important public service announcements. We ask everyone, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
I'm Barbara. I'm Cheryl. And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters. We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex. Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio Hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God. The light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection. Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on Cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments?
Unmuted.
Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viata.
Okay, we are back, and you're listening to and watching The Female Solution. All right, and we have L.A. on the line who wants to speak as well. If you'd like me to open his mic.
Yes, please, if you would.
All right. Right ahead, L.A., your mic is open.
Yeah, just real quick. I co-sign on what Warren Houston said. I mean, if you're going to get a legal definition of reparations, I would suggest get a, which is online for free, Black's Law or Legal Dictionary, and that will give you a definition of, a legal definition of reparations. Just real quick, Martin Luther King didn't tell the whole story, and I don't know if he knew the whole story when he said we come and get our check. There were land rushes in which Black folks, former slaves, did get land, and many of them formed after they got, I mean, some of them got 80 acres land, some of them got 50 acres land. Many of them formed their own townships, which are historic Black townships here in the United States. I think we got up to a total of 1,200 Black townships. We might be down to about 700 to 900 Black townships, which are over 100 years old, which still exist to this day. Hopkins Park is one of them. Up in Illinois, that's not quite 100 years old. But Brooklyn, Illinois is one of them. Eatonville, Florida, which is 45 minutes away from me, that's another one of them. Now, Viata Robinson, who's the host here on The Female Solution on Friday, she interviewed somebody last year that, speaking of reparations, they got 12 people together, and they bought like 110 acres of land in Georgia. And then there's three Black women that live in Metro Atlanta during the pandemic. that they got together, they got 19 families together and bought 97 acres of land. Now they're up to 502 acres of land forming their own town. So I'll land my plan on this. Nobody's going to repair us. Only we can repair us. And I think, like I say, if you talk to Viola Robinson, even my Eve Gill Bevel, I think she lives in either Pembroke or Hawkins Park, Illinois. Those are historic black communities. So and you can wait on the government to heal you, but I think the quickest way to do it is to heal yourself and go out and buy your own 40 acres of land. That's my comments.
All right.
I agree with you. No one can do for us what we ourselves have to do for ourselves. But at the same time, we have financial institutions, huge houses of finance whose very foundation was built on slave trafficking. You mean to tell me that we should just say, well, all right, you know, keep what you stole and we'll just go on forward from here. Now, I'm only saying that the importance of admitting and saying what happened is very therapeutic. And at least, you know, how can I say, don't try to distort fact, reality. This country was built on the institution of slavery. And human beings were robbed of their human potential, of their human worth. We have to admit that. And I do, let me say this, I remember this government, they used several ploys to try to repair or provide reparation. The idea of affirmative action, they instituted affirmative action. That was fraught with flaws from the outset. That was offered, and they knew that that would not work. They know that other human beings would not sit still for that. That you give someone preferential treatment because of the color of their skin. That was they knew that would fail, and rightfully so, Caucasians pushed back against that. Also, government contract racketeers. It was fraught with flaws. They offer these things that are created to fail. That's a certain portion of government contracts will be offered to minorities. Well, Caucasian women, they identified themselves as minorities. And Caucasian males used them to obtain those government set-asides. Both of those so-called remedies were created to fail. Now, my concern is this, that let's say that a money is given. Let's say $20,000 to everyone that is a descendant of American slavery. My concern is this. We do not have the economy to absorb that money. We do not have an economy to absorb that money. It would go almost immediately right back outside of the African-American community. That's my concern.
Could I say something? You know, I was a builder in the St. Louis area.
Please.
I put up many of the office buildings that you see in St. Louis all the way out to over in southern Illinois, all the way out to Chesterfield. They don't have those what you call set-asides for, quote, minorities. That there is a fallacy.
No, well, no, not what? Now. Not now. But I remember.
What do you mean not now? I'm still, wait a minute. Now, hang on for a second. I'm living. I've done this. So, I wasn't born in the 80s. There wasn't no terminology about minority participation back in the 1800s. But I'm telling you that they had no such thing as a set-aside when I was building buildings. I had to put in competitive bids. And the whole thing about affirmative action was to make sure that you try to include everybody at the that wanted to be at the table. Eddie Hassan talks about that because they were with Mocanic, and they structured it like that and tried to police it to make sure it was going on. The most buildings I've done was private entity. St. Peter's Mall was not no government job. I had office buildings out there on 141 in Chesterfield. Those wasn't government jobs. I mean, I understand.
Right.
I think that there are some legitimate reparation claims. I can name one or maybe two. One is with Joe Lewis. The way the IRS done him, that was terribly wrong. Jackie Robinson, too. With the one city in Texas, I can't think of the name of it right now, but that there was a case where he should have been, his family should be compensated for what he suffered. But this thing about slavery, no. Then the United States government, the federal government, had nothing to do with Jim Crow. And the federal government didn't benefit financially from slavery. There was no taxation. Other than an import tax because it was commodity just like anything else. And then, too, look at the white men and boys that gave their lives fighting for the North in the numbers about 300,000 or more. Do they families get reparations, too?
If I may.
Yes, please.
And can you say your name so we can put it on the screen?
Can
you say your
Kareem.
Name, please? Okay, thank you.
William Kareem? Okay. First of all, I think that we always have to start from the basic idea of what is reparations, and that's where Webster's Dictionary came in, so that everybody could understand it. Now, when you go to a court of law, sure, they make word salad of it, and they say, well, this here, the legal definition regarding that, but you know, the question becomes that the government did make a presentation that said we were going to give each slave 40 acres and a mule. They reneged on that. My question is, are there any cases in the legal system that have made efforts to address the issue of reparations on the basis of the injustices that have been done to African-American people? We know that it has been done, but are there any cases? Because, you know, everybody's talking, but I don't hear anybody quoting cases as far as efforts that are being made in the legal system, whereas the issue can be addressed. I would really like to hear that.
Mm-hmm. You had a court case there in Chicago. Recent, where you have Deidre Farmer Pellman and some others in Judge Posner's court. I think it's the ninth appellate, I'm not sure. It originated out in California. You had a court case there in Chicago of recent, and Posner dismissed that he was trying to sue railroads and corporations. And they dismissed it with prejudice, meaning you can bring it back up if you want to. But one of the questions that the judge asked, here's another thing. Today, blacks are mixed. Frederick Douglass, he had a white father and a black mother. So if $20,000 awarded, do he get just 10? Booker T. Washington, do he just get 10? Du Bois, does he just get 10? Derek Jeter, does he just get 10? No, don't stop me, please. I didn't see nothing where you going. Let me finish saying what I got to say. Yeah, but, I mean, this, listen,
yeah, you
a lot of this came out of the court case. A lot of this came out of the court case. Well, sir, why do you – look, if y'all don't want me on the program, everybody say yay and I'll leave.
You know, let us remain civil with each other. Let us respect each other. This is reflective of African American males. That's why we have this type of program the last Wednesday of each month. The only requirement is that we be gut level honest. And we do not embellish ourselves. So let us remain civil with each other and respectful of each other.
Can I finish? Is it okay with you, Kareem?
Yes, sir. If you can complete your thought.
I'm going to go briefly.
And
then
let someone else swear.
But like you said about black skin.
Let me manage this clock, please. Let me manage the clock. All right, go ahead, my brother.
I know Doc and Robert. They kind of get into it. I got you some gumbo and a little rice and crackers. So I'm sorry. I was still on. Okay.
You speaking of gumbo.
I'm sorry.
Make me hungry. Okay. Who was speaking last, if you would? Please your thought, then we want to hear from Henry.
Thank you very much.
From William Kareem, and then Henry Hasid, and Abdul Shahid. We haven't heard from him only once. That was his opening statement. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, as L.A. said, with Atlanta rushed out west in Oklahoma Territory, and by the way, Oklahoma Territory belonged to the Creeks. In many places, it still belonged to the Creeks. The land that you talk about, Black Wall Street, that was Creek land that they made a deal with I can't think of it, it's Dudley, I think the man's name. Sarah Reckner, who was the richest black female during that time at 12 years old, she was in eastern Oklahoma, which was still, she was a Creek Indian. Bass Reed, he was a Creek Indian. Jake Simmons, out of Texas, he was a Creek Indian. He was not a native, none of them was native black people, but we tried to claim them. So there was land rushes where blacks had, like L.A. said, and he knows more about it than I do, they had settlements, and some of them still exist today, like Cal. You had land that was put aside by Richard Nixon at the behest of Harvey Gantt and Floyd McKissick there in North Carolina, Winston-Salem, which was called Soul City. Brooklyn, Illinois, right across the river from St. Louis. Whitworth, Texas, out there in California. And to say that they ran highways through that took away black cities, when they ran... You had Route 66 that started in Illinois and ended up in California. And along the way, you had cities that, as that passed through many states, everything from Illinois, Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas. And then when the U.S. Put in the interstate highway system with Interstate 15, it cut those towns off. That's what blacks say happened. It cut those white towns off. So they suffered also. I'll stop right there.
Okay. All right. William, if you would, please, then next I want to hear from Abdul Shahid. We haven't heard from him other than
I'm gonna
opening statement.
Yes. I'm going to put the question out there again. The 40 acres and a mule is a legitimate situation that the government said that they were going to do for each slave that was freed. And it was rescinded or have their, that's a legitimate claim. And the government has not fulfilled that, and the government should. My question again is, that was government involvement, and in all of these things as far as reparations or injustices, the government has been involved in it, and you know they don't correct it. Are there cases in the legal system that have made efforts to address the issue on the basis of the injustice that has been done? Nobody is quoting that. Nobody, well, I'll say that nobody is quoting that. We know that today there are some things that are being done in states, but that is what we really need to focus on. What are the cases in the legal system that are making the efforts to address that issue?
Okay, Abdul Shaheed, you're up next. Just take your phone off of mute. Abdul Shaheed? Okay, we'll move forward. And Brother Henry Hasi.
As-salamu alaykum. I wish I could get you some of this good old Southern-made homemade gumbo here that we got that maybe got leaked out. But, you know, I think the discussion is good. I think we need the pros and the cons. We have to look at both sides. So we need that. And just because you take one side or another don't mean that you're not reasonable. And that you won't refuse to listen to the others. But I think some of the things, and I heard the brother say that, you know, he did contract and they had no set aside. Well, I do appraisals and they don't have any set aside for me either. But I will say that the discrimination that I have faced in the appraisal industry is real. And I cannot deny that that there. So even though that there was no set aside, there was a lot of things that prevented us from doing what we should have been able to do. If we were of a different color, we would have had the opportunity to do. So that's no denying that. But I think issues like that could be debated. It should be debated. I think we should. One should take the opposing and one should take the affirmative side of the issue so we can see how they play out. So I don't have any problem with that. But the thing that I find out that a lot of us who may have been used as sometimes referred to as a token in this society, and I have to admit that I have been tried to be used by others as a token, but I refused. And because I refused, then, of course, a lot of things was denied to me because I didn't want to be the token. So I know that we have a lot of tokens out here that will, not that the brother is, he may be legitimate, but I do know that there's a lot of tokens that out here that will deny that discrimination ever existed or even exists. That the Negroes should pull up themselves by their bootstrap there. And Dr. King addressed that in his talk. And Booker T. Washington addressed that in his comments here, that, no, we're not going to sit down and wait for others to lift us up. Yeah, we're going to try it. We're going to keep working at lifting, but we won't deny that there's others that, as we're trying to lift ourselves up, is trying to keep us down even in 2023, in February 2023. Our condition in our communities is not solely because that we want to live in slums and projects, and if the government, well, I guess that then if the government don't provide for us, we're not capable of providing for ourselves. I don't take that attitude about anything. And I think we have to debate these issues so we can come up with solutions as to how we move forward as we're doing with things. The 50-year solution, I think, is a great thing. And we, as we look at
how we can make these progress with or without the help of other people. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you, Brother Henry.
It's time for us to take our last break. As-salamu alaykum. It's time for us to take our last break, and then we can come back to our callers. So if you will.
All right.
You see where my number is? 312-721?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. Be back in a moment. Stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
unmuted.
And we are back. Okay, let me see.
Okay, we're back.
And, yes. I would love to hear from Abdul Shaheed. I haven't heard from him since his opening statement. Brother Abdul Shaheed, if you would share with us, please, on this.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, my call dropped, and I wasn't able to hear you earlier, but I'm back. Certainly appreciate the opportunity. It's very important that we listen to both sides of this equation. And I think this is a good effort for us, so we can think about all these different solutions that we need to be putting on the table. We know that our people have been harmed. It is almost like the harm has not stopped. It didn't stop with the Emancipation Proclamation. It continued even to this day, the discrimination and all the degradation and all the other different things that we need to take charge of. And so it's good that we're talking about reparation. It's good that we're speaking about the problems. And I think what we have to do is just keep coming together to solve our own problem. We're not waiting for the government to give us money. We're not waiting for the government to repair us. We've been working all this time. But there are forces in America that try to prevent us from making the progress we need to make. So we have to put more effort into educating ourselves. And I think this is where the crux of the problem is. We're allowing others to educate our children, to take their mind and expect us to make progress. We have to make the effort to educate our own, come up with our own curriculum, all these things. We have to be more responsible for our health and what's happening with our mental health. We have to be responsible for these things. How is a person to overcome the obstacle in life when they have many mental issues? Many of our people are experiencing mental illness. And they are in jail because they have mental issues. So we have a system in place that's very difficult to navigate, and we have to educate ourselves about how to navigate this place called America. And we have to put focus on our people's health. The effects of slavery has put us in a bad situation as far as our health is concerned, where it's now generational health been denied for many of our people. So we have to, there's so much for us to do and so much for us to learn, but we are capable of overcoming every obstacle that's been placed in front of us. We've already proven that. So I think conversations like we're having this morning is excellent for us to pay more attention to what we have to do and continue to come together to overcome these obstacles, because that's all they are, to help us to produce the best person, the best that will come out of all of us. We know our people have the wherewithal inside of us already. The Almighty has placed a solution inside of each and every one of us, and we have to continue to make our contribution to solving the problem of the effects of slavery here in America. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I agree
Thank
with
you.
Him.
Abdul Shaheed.
I agree with him, Kareem.
Yes, if we can click the switch from just being consumers, you know, from just being consumers, we control a lot of wealth, but we are in a consuming frame of mind. We are somewhat still wards of the state with all of this consumer power that we have. And I'm grateful that we are speaking to each other on, you know, on material needs. on material needs. Because when you deprive someone of their material needs, then you are affecting them mentally, emotionally, and in almost every capacity when they are denied physical sustenance, you know? I mean, but there's no denying where the wealth of this country came from. There's no denying that. But we aren't waiting on a government to help us. But it would be a good gesture if these houses of finance, Morgan, the House of Morgan, the Rothschild, they benefited tremendously from the international slave trade. And we can't act like that they did not benefit and that we are somewhat wrong. There's something wrong with us to want them to share that material wealth with the victims of a heinous human rights crime. Of a human rights crime. There's nothing wrong with that. And we should not be apologists for the criminals. This was a crime against humanity. And don't tell me you don't bear some responsibility.
Before you make a statement, Kareem, there you got another caller that'd like to speak. Kofi James, if you'd like me to open his mic.
Yes, I have a heard Kofi.
Yes, how you guys doing? Excellent conversation. There is things happening. You look at, I'm watching it go down. There are some things that are going on, and I'm one of the truth bearers. When this governor of Florida, DeSanto, stopped the African American curriculum, they have just set us free. They just set us free. They don't want to teach us lies anymore. They see us teaching the truth all over the internet, and it's like, you know what? Let's cancel this fake, these lies we've been teaching these people. They know who they are. We have just been set free. That's how I look at it. Do you see this? Do you see that what they're doing? They're letting us free. They know we're educating ourselves now. They see it on the internet. We're using social media to teach each other. To teach our families how we used to be. We're teaching the ethics and we're looking back. We're showing pictures of our grandmama. We're showing all the before slavery, who were we? We're showing the land. We're connected with African people, you know, and others, other races are applauding. They're applauding us. They see that we want better for ourselves. And you're right, we are, I've been doing it for 13 years, man. And these young kids, man, they're finally getting it. They're reading the word. They're trying to figure out, who am I? Why am I so special? Why is the world talking about me so much? There must be something about me. All these inventors, you know, Black History Month, we talk about these inventors. These weren't just inventors. They actually created a global economy. When they created the mailbox, that created a post office, global post office industry around the world. Air conditioner. They know who we are. We're finally realizing, you know what? We're the offsprings of these people. There must be something special about us as well. And I think, man, the light is on, man. You talk about that switch. I think somebody turned that switch on. All right. What do you think about them letting us go with the African curriculum ending that? Do you see that as a sign of letting us go? That's my question.
I see that as We have to tell our own story.
Yes.
We have to tell our own story and not rely on others to tell our story for us.
Can I say something, Mr. Green?
Yes, sir.
Now, I have to push back when people say slaves built America. Slaves did not build America. Slaves was labor in the South. How can you build something where you are that you didn't build where you came from? Even today, things are not there. That's a simple question. And when Sherman marched through the sea...
Can I answer that?
Hang on for a second. Let me finish. When Sherman marched through the sea, you know, back then, there was no income. There was no income tax until 1913. There was no tax going to the government other than apportionment, which is divided up amongst the states and further divided up amongst the people in the state. And I think that should be going on today. But the thing that I was going to add, they didn't, DeSantis and nobody else said that you couldn't have African history. Matter of fact, Howard University fired some teachers in their middle school that's designed to feed black kids into Howard University, whereas they can maintain and hold on to the rigors of college. When they swayed off from the curriculum and started teaching black history, Howard University, which is a black university, they fired those teachers. I was the field coordinator for African Center Curriculum for the St. Louis chapter of the National Black United Front. We worked to put African Center Curriculum in many school districts, from Kansas City, Detroit, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, D.C., all the way out to Los Angeles. The people did not want that. That's why companies don't exist today.
Right.
So your curriculum, whatever you want your curriculum to be in the state of Missouri, according to the statute, you can have whatever you want. But the big problem is this. Your black kids in these areas can't read. East St. Louis School District, the high school, less than 1% of all the high school students can read at a given level and do math.
Don't even.
So you can have all the – how are your kids going to take this information if they can't read? And there's a difference between what we call black history and AP black studies. Look.
Well,
I got to go.
R. Kelly couldn't read.
Can I
say something real quick? They had just found hieroglyphics and Sphinx in the Niagara Falls area. I'm here to prove. Hello? Can you hear me?
That sounds clear.
That was clear the way
yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
I think if you close somebody's microphone, I mean somebody's mic needs to be close.
I was trying to respond to that. Am I being heard?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. I can hear it, but that person is shouting, you know.
Yeah, somebody, Brother Green, you have to close somebody's
all right,
mic
go ahead
and step in the program.
I have.
Okay,
their mic is closed. All right, go ahead, William, if you would.
Yeah, I can hear that.
Yeah,
that's clear. Yeah, it's clear.
William? All right. Are you in a quiet area now? William, your mic is open.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Can I comment again? I had another important topic.
Wait a minute. Let's hear from William first, please. Then you are next, my brother.
Yeah.
Okay, William Correa.
Thank you. Thank you for considering me, especially as far as being part of the panel. There's a lot has been said. I'm truly interested in what's going on in the legal system to address the issue. because that's the only place that it can be addressed, as far as, and especially as far as the 40 acres and the mule situation, the reparations situation has that, it has been addressed in the legal system. And, you know, I think that, you know, as a community of people, I think that, you know, we need to know if there are still efforts being done in the legal system to address the reparations. We know that there's some things going on as far as the states is concerned, but, you know, that kind of idea should continue. It's at least that will give us some hope for the 40 acres of mule. And I want my 40 acres of mule because my family was in Portsmouth, Virginia. They didn't get their 40 acres of mule. They had to leave Virginia in order to come up to New York in order to, you know, continue to survive. So that's what I'm saying.
All right, thank you. All right, Kianti, you're next. I believe that was you that was asking.
Well, I basically said what I was had to say during the time, but, you know, I hear all these claims, and I can understand where a lot of people get this stuff. Europeans did not go into the hinterland and steal people out of there. They didn't have to do that. Nigerians were traveling and trading between Nigeria and Senegal, until with dugout canoes. They had no shipbuilding industry. When they seen the Portuguese large ships, they leased them out to haul their commodities, which included people, to Senegal back and forth. And you know, another thing too, Ghana had Portuguese as slaves in some of the forts that they have along the coastal line. So, but the thing is that there's opportunity galore today. Education, you know, the National Society of Black Engineers, you go on their website, they have over 11,000 openings for STEM positions, and I'm not talking about openings that was placed 2 or 3 years ago. Some of them is recent as 30 days ago. Educate your kids. It's a shame that these black kids are not given the education that they should have, whereas they can compete. And you know, one other thing real quick. I often not go along with Umar Johnson, but he said something that I just recently heard. He is very critical of the fact that they're bringing Ukrainian refugees into the United States and putting them on Social Security and SSI. That is totally ridiculous. Where is the outcry for that? We marched down to Tallahassee, Florida, with some fictitious and mythical stuff. Where is the outcry for that?
Hello? You know, we have to.
Calls when we got our own calls. This Negro. This Negro. He's crazy.
Yeah, can I respond to that?
You know. Yes, go ahead, please.
This Koofy. Mike, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. The way I'm inspired, I'm looking at what's going on in America. We didn't come from no Africa. We was already here in this land. And once you get to that state, my children became geniuses. Okay? You understand? Away from that indoctrination. We have in hieroglyphics in Niagara Falls, they have a sphinx head. It's on YouTube. Just go to Niagara Falls, a pyramid. There's more pyramids in America than it is in Africa. We were kings and queens right up in here. That's our home court advantage. When I learned that as a kid, I did well in school because I realized mathematics and science came from us. And it made me think a little bit deeper. You understand? I was having problems with mathematics. I was having problems with science. But my mama said, yo, we created that. I said, what? And then all of a sudden, I got a new insight, you see. We were kings and queens right here, okay? And we're going to keep leading you brothers and all that until y'all get that, okay? Because that is the home court advantage. That is the power we have that nobody else have. Everybody wants to come to America. Yes, we have the corner stores, Arabs and all that, but you know what I look at it? If I'm a king, my family call me prince. If we are kings and queens, they are here to serve us. Do you get that? Do you understand that understanding? They are serving us potato chips, cigars,
juju's,
candy.
If I may.
Okay,
Ray
they're Cooper, serving
Ray
them. Yes, and we're paying you well.
Please,
we're paying you $30,000 a week
me.
To serve us.
Please,
they come
Cooper,
here from, from countries far
please,
away and come to the black community. Oh, I want to open up a shop in the black community. Yes, they are. Look at it like that. One day, we're going to start serving ourselves again.
We
right.
will not use the derogatory identifiers for other people, calling people Arabs, Spanks, and Spicks, and niggers, and all of that. We should refrain from that type of identifying of human beings. We shouldn't do that. That's what I wanted to say, that we should not use offensive nicknames for other human beings. Let me say this, you know, the condition that we see the continent of Africa in, it is a growing, praise be to Allah, it is a growing power. And at the same time, we have to realize that Africa was colonized by colonizers, and they even enslaved the Africans. They enslaved them. That's why we see such a deplorable condition in some parts of Africa, not all of it. Some parts of Africa is very progressive, very modern, huge buildings and all of that. But Africa is coming out from under the 300 to 400 years of colonization. We have to realize that what they found in Africa, there were huge cities, there were governments, there was educational facilities in Africa, but Africa was colonized by the colonizer. We were not the only ones enslaved. Large portions of Africa were enslaved to a working extracting mineral resources, the gold, the diamonds, oil. Africa is coming out of that. Praise be to Almighty God, and we should be in lockstep with them. We are coming from out of colonization, and you are so correct in that we have the ability now with this internet to educate ourselves and our children. Not be
yes, Brother Green. I thought this was a show about reparations, and it would have really been
the same
good
thing.
If everybody had focused on reparations. But you know, I appreciate the effort, but I think that everybody brought so many different things that from it into the conversation that I don't know if we really even addressed the issue.
Well, I think we did. You know, we will hear a collage of thoughts. We won't just hear one train of thought. We will hear a huge collage and a diversion of thought. You know, praise be to Almighty God for that.
Assalamu alaikum. We got about 30 seconds before we leave the air, and I want to let people know if you're on our switchboard. We'll be on for the after show. Stay on. We'll give your comments. And if you want to call in real quick, 515-605-9325, or join us on Facebook Live or YouTube at The Female Solution. I'm Naeem Latif. Of course, you've been listening to Kareem Hamid's Miss Men Only Discussion, Should the Government Pay Blacks Reparations for Slavery? We'll continue this discussion in the after show. So stay with us.
To everyone that participated in this conversation.
Okay. And we are continuing with the after show. After this quick break, we're going to play our ending, and then we'll be right back. Well, let's see. But you know what? Let's just Let's just pause for the calls. We'll be back after this quick break, so stick and stay. Don't stray away. Be back in a moment.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speak. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
All right, we are now in the after show, and we have been listening to our monthly men-only discussion hosted by Kareem Hamid, and the question was asked, should the government pay blacks born in America reparations for slavery? Well, there is some realities to the fact that there were some atrocities committed. The question is who's responsible and therefore who could be sued, because we're talking about a legal issue, and as our legal expert Warren Houston reminded us, legally, when the government pays reparations, they're paying something that happened as a result of a wartime crime or impropriety, such as the Japanese internment during World War II. And even with Native Americans, the wartime atrocities that were committed. But with African people, our transport here was part of an international trade policy involving African nations that negotiated with private enterprises and sold people, whether it was a political expedient thing to get rid of prisoners of war, whatever the case may be, the fact of the matter is that here we had a policy that was not initiated by the government, but was a private enterprise that many who sat in positions of government participated in. So who is owed who by whom, and how do you sue? So that's the issue. And we're going to open up some mics and get your comments and press one. If you, I think just about everybody got something to say. So let me take somebody who hasn't spoken yet. 779-801, I believe we got our sister Maika on the line. Grand Rising, thanks for joining us. We appreciate you so very much for calling in.
Greetings, Grand Rising. Yeah. I was asleep during most of the show, I apologize, but I woke up on Piante saying, what about all this money they're giving to these Ukrainians? And I agree, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Like, where is this money coming from? Who is being, where, we didn't know that all this money was available. A million here, a million there. We didn't know that money was available to give out freely to people. I think that the money should, you know, the law, there's a saying, charity begins at home and spreads abroad. But some, a lot of people miss that. I don't know what that is. We need to shore up Americans before we start taking care of other refugees and stuff like that. And as Johnny Rogers was saying on the show recently, you know, we were prisoners of war. I don't know if Warren spoke to that or not, but we were prisoners of war. It was a war in a sense. It was a war on Africa. And it wasn't a declared war, but it was a war on Africa. So I think we need to really get on top of our government in terms of how they just freely spend taxpayers' dollars the way they want to. As a matter of fact, I was just thinking I need to go see where Biden's family tree is. He may be a Ukrainian. I don't know. This may be nepotism. I don't know what's going on. But I know
well,
this money is much
move.
More.
You know, mm-hmm. it's definitely
say it
a political
again,
move. You know, I
mm-hmm.
mean, it's a political move against Russia, you know.
Mm-hmm. Getting ready to get us in a war with Russia, too, with all his prostrating and all of that. I don't like that. How can these people tell China not to support Russia and they were supporting Ukraine? I don't get all this crazy talk. You know, it's just too much craziness for me to really comprehend. So those are my comments on that.
Well, thank you so much for those comments. And I think we got to look at this. Because the war can't happen unless the people participate. And why are we going off to kill someone else? Well, because we're hired. We, you know, armies are, that's a paid profession. The military is a paid profession. So you had people who were hired to go and raid communities in Africa. They were paid to go and capture people. It's the same thing. If you're hired to do a job, you do the job. So when people get into the military, they're hired to do a job, whether that job is killing, capturing, whatever, that's a job. So in a sense, what you said, yes, there was a war. There was a war because people were hired by the government that was doing business, with private companies, the shipping industry, that was a business. The insurance companies that insured the ships, that was a business. The companies that built the ships, that was a business. You had people hired to sell the ships, that was a business. So all these business enterprises went into the slave trading business. And then you had people who owned land, and that land was stolen, as we understand. It was stolen from the native people who were here first. But then they were owning land that the United States, or even before the United States was a total union, they were owning land, and they purchased the people brought over in ships as part of a private enterprise that the nations of Africa, the heads of those nations, organized in order to happen. And they made a decision, just like President Biden just made a decision. They made a decision to export people who were political prisoners of war, who were prisoners of wars that they were having among themselves with nations that they were seeking to dominate. So they made a political decision. They made an economic decision, just like Biden. President Biden is making a political decision and an economic decision. This is what nations do. So who are we now holding responsible for what happened to the ancestors that many of us descended from, who were captured and imprisoned and transported and forced to work at gunpoint? And now we're saying,
yeah,
these are my great-great-grandparents, you owe me. But who owes? Who are we holding responsible? Who do we believe is responsible? And I think from what we heard today, the people that we want to make responsible aren't really legally responsible, and that is the U.S. government, legally.
And now, even, can I say something else?
Yeah, go right ahead. I can still open, and I'm going to open up Mama Dean's.
Whatever Mika was saying. They have created some policies. And Kareem, you know, in St. Louis, they brought 30,000, then 50,000 Bosnians from the Bosnian-Serbian War. They got Serbs in St. Louis, too, in the St. Louis area. None of them people are unemployed.
I think Kareem has disconnected from us, AM360.
All right, well, I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you. There's a couple other people from St. Louis.
She's got a comment.
The men have had 2 hours. Now, no taxation, no taxation.
Well,
all
that's out, Bianca. Mama D has a comment. She's been chomping at the bit.
No,
go right ahead, Mama D.
No taxation without reparations. Were the slaves taxed or not? There was no war in Vietnam. It was called an era. There was no war in Korea. It was called a conflict. Now, under the Genocide Accountability Act of 2007, which America put out, that's what we need to hold them accountable for. March 7th, 2023 will mark the 266th anniversary of the Dred Scott decision that ruled blacks, not everybody, not people of color, have no rights that whites are bound to respect. That was under the United States Supreme Court. Okay, can I get off here, please? They also,
Go right ahead.
They also ruled in May 17, 1954, that they had called heart and mind damage, which is a definition for genocide, and every single category of that definition we fit into. And they said it was unconstitutional because it only existed to keep the segregation law, to keep the status of the Negro down, not anybody else. And in addition to that, the United Nations voted. They voted. Slavery, a crime against humanity, said it always has been, and they recommended reparations for descendants on September 4th, 2001. And in June 18, 2009, the United States Senate and the United States Congress voted, issued an apology admitting all that they had done, taking us from our land, taking our language. They admitted every single thing that they have done. But yet they turned around and gave reparations to some non-citizens, children who had broken into this country. And they said, well, it was through no fault of their own. It was through the fault of their parents who brought them over here. But when it comes to us coming in chains, nobody has ever said it was through no fault of your own. We didn't injure those children of the border breakers that got government to leg up of development, relief, and education. They can go to graduate school for free. For who? Aliens, as in non-citizens, minors under the age of 31. Not just that, but amnesty from any crime that's not federal, and exemption from student loans and student debt that American students are drowning in. So what we need to do now is demand that Joe Biden do for the NAA, Indigenous Native American Africans, what they did for the border breakers' children, and give us that governmental leg up. And because they boast about, oh, wow, what a governmental boom we have received since we got that Dream Act. So we need to...
Let me ask you this, Mama D, because Kareem did make this point, and it's something that I observed when everybody got their stimulus check. If you don't have an economy that you can circulate money, then even if people gave, even if every black person descending from someone they could document as having been on a plantation and enslaved, and Kufi said there was no one that ever worked at gunpoint. Well, Kufi, that's not historically correct because I can name you some names. And I know the gun points that they worked under. So, I mean, physically, you can go back now to some people who you know were forced to...
What is your name? What is your name?
At the threat of... That's the whole patroller system.
All we need is a name. What is your name? What part of Africa is Smith, Jones, and Robinson for? We have the slave owner's name.
Now, the question, Mama D, though, the question is, even if we were given a check, if you don't have a way to circulate that money back to a community, then you'd be back broke within a year and then still saying you all owe us. Because that's what happened after people got the stimulus check.
Can I say something, Naima?
Just a check. We need to find out. See, this is, you have to study sometimes and show yourself approved. Reparations is to make a people whole, and land is.
I think somebody said nobody can make us whole. Nobody else can make us whole. We have to make ourselves whole. Nobody fixes what's broken inside of a person.
According to the law, we have a lawyer on. According to the law, the language is make the people whole. That is the legal aid.
Could I say something, Naima?
Okay, well, hold that thought, Pion. I'm gonna open the mic for somebody who hasn't spoken yet. Hold that thought, Mama D. I'm gonna open the mic for somebody who hasn't spoken yet. 312-671, I believe, got up on the line.
We had 2 hours to talk, and it is not right to put men in on this
court. Hold one quick second. Minister Plum, you got a moment to address this topic of should the government pay blacks reparations for slavery? Now, I got a quick question for you, Minister Plum. Wait a minute. Let me ask this question, Mama D. I need you to control. I'm not going to close mics. I'm going to give people the opportunity to show their power of self-control.
The men had 2 hours.
I know that. Give me a moment to ask Minister Plump a question because he hasn't spoken. Give me a moment. Mama D.
You should be fair.
I'm being fair. I'm giving someone else a chance to have my opinion. Now, what I'm asking is, for those people who are feeling like the government owes reparations, but there are people who have taken advantage of whatever opportunities they had, and they have created institutions. And they have created wealth. So if we're saying everybody who descended from the enslavement experience should be repaired and made whole, does Oprah Winfrey, should she get reparations? Should Tyler Perry get reparations? Rihanna get reparations? I'm giving Minister Plump a chance to answer this question, and then I'll go back to the rest of you all. You have people who have great wealth and have made, who have taken their education or whatever their experience, and they are now, they're employing people, they have major industries, but they're black, and they have had slave ancestry. Should they be included in the reparations?
Dee, you need to relax. Just relax, Dee Dee. Let her manage it the way she wants. To the managers. She's in charge.
I'm asking you all to show that you have self-control. I'm not going to close your mics. I asked that question to Minister Plump, whose mic I just opened.
Well, he had 2 hours.
Minister Plump, I'm going to give you a moment to answer that question, and I'm going to go back to Mama D and Pianki. And anybody else who's on our switchboard who wants to press 1, I
will have
a chance to speak.
It's not
right
to have them
about
half hour. It's just not
you keep
right.
Saying that, Dee Dee, but that's
fair.
Not the point.
Men, you ought to hang up out of respect because we gave you 2 hours. You ought to hang up out of respect. Be fair to us.
Now, this is what I need for our people to recognize when we are in control of ourselves, we survive and we thrive. When we are not, it doesn't make any difference what someone else gives us. We blow it because we are too emotional to think and strategize. And it's the same thing with money, reparations, and everything else. So, Minister Plump, what are your thoughts on that? Should those people who have get reparations along with everybody else, what are your thoughts? Take your mute on your mic, Minister. Are you with us?
Maybe.
Yes, Rio and Nashalong. Yes, I am here. May I speak now, Mama D, please? This is your brother. From a different mic.
I know
thank
it's
you.
My brother, but you had two.
All right. May I? I just want to speak, Mama D, please. Beloved, I'm your brother now. Come on. Respect is everything. Respect is everything. And I have something to share, too. Dr. King used to say, get the language right. Now, I believe in reparations now. However, I also believe in Asiatic, indigenous African American reparations. So that's a part of the solution. And I'm going to continue to share the solution. Black love matters, too. In your heart, that none but the pure and the righteous is going to see God. Now, we hold ourselves accountable for the conditions of our communities, support our efforts as we exercise change, and that going out to the whole world. You know, we have to be either part of the problem or part of the solution. Black education is the best part of our solution. Our health is our wealth. Brother Plump is happy, healthy, wealthy, and wise. However, I am that I am a 23. So that means it's our time now as a people, especially the black woman and the black man, to stand up and protect the black woman and protect and marry his wife and his take care of his children. And for more information, brothers and sisters can keep in touch with me through the Harold Washington Foundation .info or call me direct at 312-671-2773. And let's get it on, because Dr. King was right when he said, let us get the language right. So we have to change the language and make it applicable for the whole world. And thank you, Naima. I love you. And I love you too, Mama D and Naika and the whole female community. You all have a pleasingly plump day, as Les Brown said. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Minister Plump. We appreciate you. And he said something, Mama D, which I think we got to take a look at. And he said, being responsible. I think we have to take responsibility, not just right now, but if we're going to go back in the past, we have to take our families, our foreparents have to take responsibility for creating that condition in our native land that led to the wars, that led to the enslavement, that led to the economic policy of trading your people. Bianchi said, well, they were trading the undesirables. Whatever the situation was, there was a choice made. And who are we holding responsible when so many nations and so many business interests profited from that enterprise? Who can we now hold responsible and say the government must pay? If we're going to go after reparations or being repaired, look at the families that own the land and bought the people, and whether the sugar industry, the tobacco industry, the cotton industry, are there still families that are owning these industries that are still wealthy, or are they not? What happened after the Civil War? Did they lose all the property? Are any of those original families that made money still making money? And if so, those would be the ones I would say would be the subject of a lawsuit. If we could trace them back, if they still have money. But the government of the United States, they may have made laws that were unjust, but do they owe money? That's the question.
The federal government had enough. But, you know, in South Carolina, you had 30,000 plus slaves that was held by black plantation owners. In New Orleans, 28% of free blacks, which were mulattoes, owned slaves, and 80% of them were women.
Okay,
but nobody ever brings them up.
Mama D, respond to that. Mama D, what are your thoughts on the fact that you have private industries that profited from people, and that's where the money went? And I don't even think somebody said income tax didn't even start till like 1900 something. So as far
income
as tax
started in 1913.
So therefore the government wasn't even receiving taxes from the people that were working for free on those plantations. So is the government responsible for paying or the government responsible for repairing the wrong laws? So hold on, Bianchi. Give her a chance to respond. Go ahead, Mama.
Let me correct one thing. When you say it was working for free, you don't know that.
The slave.
Yeah, we do. We do. You know, records are available.
Slave,
yeah, we know.
The slave was taxed of a human being, and he was not represented. Now, I'm not talking about no income tax or whatever kind of tax, but they counted the slave as two-fifths of a human being. That is the government He's starting to make that decision, and that is who is accountable under Genocide Accountability Act of 2007. It is the government. They're the ones that made the laws that said only the red man and the black man, the savage and the slave, could be born in America and not be citizens in the land of their birth until the 14th Amendment changed that and said if you were not born here, then you have to be naturalized to be here. Now, that is governmental law, and that is the Constitution, and that is what we are dealing with, the government. You know what our problem is? We have not claimed the country that our ancestors built through the crimes against humanity and Jim Crow genocide that was admitted in 1954. Untreated, hard mind, subjugated race, and poverty. Damn, they said that that law only existed to keep the status of the Negro down. These were governmental laws like May 7th. 1957 Dred Scott decision rules blacks have no rights. That was a Supreme Court decision. That was legal. That was lawful. And that is why we hold the government accountable. But I think some people are so full of self-hate that they want to find every excuse in the book not to have this government be accountable. You have not gotten over 355 years of federal laws against you as a group. We have never had anybody giving us the governmental leg up. That was given to the Dreamers in 2009. But they can apologize in 2009, but they give the reparations, the governmental leg up, to the children of border breakers. And so these are the facts. Facts can change feelings. Feelings cannot change facts. We have always built up, made a way out of no way. And what happens? The government comes in and tears it all down or terrorizes people through the organized arm of the Ku Klux Klan government's army on the people. And they've always did that. We fought in every single solitary war. And every single time the enemies of war was treated better than the people. Why is it that the Germans could sit on the front of the train and the black soldiers in the uniform had to sit in the back? Just treat us like you treat the enemies of the country.
That is true. I know my father testified to that. That's what's happening. That is exactly what happened. So that...
And we are still making excuses. Oh, well, you know, you ought to do
yeah, you got stuff. 2 minutes.
You can play basketball like Michael Jordan, or you have other skills like Marian Anderson, then that is you as an individual. You have made it. But collectively, us as NAAs, Indigenous Native American Africans, we have not been made whole, and it's not limited to a check. Check out the torture victims that in Chicago, Illinois, that the people that was tortured in holding sons by John Bird, check out what that reparations was. It was up not only up to $100,000 in one.
That's a precedent. We gotta go now.
Let
me
say this.
Quick.
If you got records to show that slaves didn't get paid, where is the records to show that these ancestors said it was okay for you to adjudicate for them in 2023? You don't have none.
How far back do you want to prove injustice? You can go back and find anybody at fault for everything if you go back far enough, and that's the truth about humanity. So we've got to go. Thank you, Mama D, for hanging in with us. Thank you. We got Maika, and thank you. Lois was with us, and thank you, Kofi and Pianchi, and all of those. And, of course, thank you, Warren. And Mama AZ, thank you for being with us. And, where did I put my – oh, here we go. All righty, well, we've got to go, and we will see you all next time. You've been listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naeem Latif. Join us tomorrow. for Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. Get some of that reparations of your heart and mind damage right here on The Female Solution with Dr. Debbie Green, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern, and wherever you are in the world, adjust your times. You can join us live and call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll add you to our conversation. Until tomorrow, enjoy the rest of your day and continue to shine.
Come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, dziękuję. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.